All right, you guys, happy Friday. Some more interesting tips are coming in. It seems that that company, Satis, that French company, the angle has opened up a whole new level of possibilities here in this Charlie Kirk assassination story. And I have to tell you, I do not think that they were just painting planes this year. Rather, we've learned that just before Charlie's assassination, there was actually this joint military exercise, which was taking place related exactly to where the Egyptian yellow plane landed on its way to Provo. We need to definitely keep at it. Zionists are mad. I don't know why this investigation really has set Zionists off. I think it's because we're getting closer and Charlie would indeed want us to keep going, Max. So welcome back to Candace. Okay, so that interview that I did with Charlie back when my show was on PragerU's network is becoming increasingly prophetic. At the end of every one of those interviews, I would ask the questions from my viewers to whoever it was that I was interviewing. And this is the question that came in for Charlie, and this is how Charlie chose to answer that question. Take a listen.
Okay, who is, I already know this, you kind of already touched on this, your all-time favorite historical figure, is it Milton Friedman or is there someone else? Jesus Christ?
I gotta always say Jesus Christ probably. Wow, that is a great question. Historical figure. So just for like to make it fun, let's just say before 1850.
Okay, he's amending your question.
Whoever this is. Susie from Buffalo. I'm so sorry. Yeah, exactly. It's amazing, stunning. Right? That's the Mensa. I mean, I'm kidding. I love the American founding fathers. Ben Franklin, I always really enjoyed. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, are too cliche. So one I really enjoy that I just love learning from is Julius Caesar. I think he's one of the most interesting historical figures. If you want to talk about someone who lived a full life,
right?
It's Julius Caesar from conquering northern Germania to surviving and winning a Roman civil war,
right,
to an unusual alliance and quelling a rebellion with Cleopatra, to ending the Roman Republic, to starting the Roman Empire, and then seeing the people that he benefited the most turn against him.
Right.
I think there's something very tragic and very interesting about that. So I think it's one of the most interesting, and you could learn, if there's something to learn about humanity, you could learn it through the prism of Julius Caesar.
Man, that sure is something to hear him say that. The people who benefited the most turned against him. Gaius Julius Caesar, that is correct, a general who had rightfully earned the respect of the people for leading them through the Gallic wars, a statesman, and finally a leader who in the end was betrayed and famously assassinated by the very people that he helped to build up. A conspiracy, a plot to murder him, which included a lot of people, politicians, of course, the senators, military men, close friends and confidants, the most infamous, of course, being Brutus. Now, some reports say that he viewed Brutus as a son. That's how close they were. Of course, that didn't stop Brutus from plunging the knife into him. 23 times Julius Caesar was stabbed by senators and, of course, Brutus, leading to the famed Shakespearean expression and et tu, Brute, et tu, you as well, you too. Wow, you have turned against me as well. Now, why was Caesar assassinated? Because, I don't know, he was too good, too adored, too respected by the people, thereby a threat somehow to the establishment of politics. It doesn't like to see somebody come through the ranks and achieve what they perceive to be power that they can't control. Yeah, the Bible is very clear that there is nothing new under the sun, and it appears that history is present again. Judas, Brutus, in the future, when we are long gone from this world, who do you guys think is going to be the person remembered most for this act of betrayal against Charlie? Not me, that's for sure. It's not going to be Candace Owens, okay? No one's going to be saying, et tu, Candace, et tu. I can tell you that right now in government, there is real panic. There is real discussion happening regarding the Egyptian planes. I was informed that yesterday evening because I'm getting the sense that they hold the key to solving Charlie's assassination. The media keeps trying these weird ways to debunk them. And we're going to find out. I've been confident from the beginning that this was not going to be a JFK assassination story. We are going to figure out who that foreign dignitary was who went to 920 North King on the morning of Charlie's assassination, who flew from Provo and landed into Wilmington, Delaware on the morning of Charlie's assassination. It is a very important question that needs answering. Got to tell you guys that we received another email, this time from somebody in the military who informed us about another piece that we were missing that could be crucial to this puzzle, taking a more serious look into that 1 hour layover stop when our yellow plane, SUBTT, the tail number, came into the United States on September 4th. You might recall it stopped for just 1 hour in Minot, North Dakota, which I learned has an Air Force base. It pretty much is just the Air Force base, by the way, before making its way onto Provo. And here I'm going to read to you that email that I received. It says, "Hi, Candace, I am blank. One of the good ones, military member, one of the good ones. I think one of the keys to not overlook here is BTT's stopover in Minot, North Dakota. Why stop there at all on the 4th? Why not fly direct to Provo? Not only does Minot have an FBI office, but it also has an Air Force base, among other tenants. That Air Force base is home to the 891st Missile Security Forces Squadron, a combined military and civilian security force that had just come off of Operation Valhalla, a training exercise in Minnesota from the 24th to the 29th of August, where the security forces practiced long-range shooting practice, among other things. Remember on September 12th when Kash Patel ended his press conference with, quote, 'Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, my brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.' Yeah, very interesting thing to say. I don't believe in coincidences." That's how he ended the email, telling me to keep up the hard work. And so we investigated that, and that fact checked true, right? Minot definitely is home to exactly what we are telling you. I didn't know anything, by the way, about the city of Minot. I can tell you that North Dakota in general is not a very populous state, approximately 750,000 people statewide, okay? And in Minot, there are just 45,000 people, and that includes 5,000 people who are stationed there at the Minot Air Force. And it is home, as he indicated, to a global command strike center, which has participations between various countries on joint exercises. And we can show you right here that in the weeks leading up to Charlie's assassination, I mean, literally what he says, August 24th, 29th, Operation Valhalla took place in neighboring Minnesota. So they took the Minot boys and they took them over to Minnesota, and it included the military and, of note, the civilians. What's interesting, of note, civilians, and they trained from August 25th to August 29th. And we can read the details of that here. And by details, I mean this is what the public was told about what they were training for, okay? So this is on the Minot Air Force Base website. It says Operation Valhalla Strike was a week-long training where the 891st Squadron from Minot Air Force Base, North Dakota, traveled to Camp Ripley Training Center in Minnesota, August 24th, 29th, 2025. The advanced training focused on air-based ground defense and nuclear security tactics, the bread and butter of the squadron's mission. The training, called Operation Valhalla Strike, allowed the unit to complete requirements not possible at the Minot Air Force Base, including full-distance live fire exercises. Camp Ripley provided full-distance firing ranges, which allowed defenders to hone their rifle marksmanship and machine gun proficiency, exceeding the capabilities of standard Air Force 25-meter training ranges. Okay, the squadron of more than 250 dedicated airmen and civilians supporting the 91st Missile Wing's global deterrence mission by defending the United States with the world's premier combat-ready intercontinental ballistic missile force. Okay, cool. And yeah, it sure must be something of just a coincidence that Valhalla, which kind of struck everybody as odd, as was him going 33 hours, it was like there was a press conference that was happening for the American people, but he was signaling to other people who were like in the club to know what they needed to understand about what happened. Do you know what I mean? That's how I felt about Kash Patel's press conference and the things that he was saying. It just didn't, something felt weird about it. 33 hours. And of course, yes, he did say something about Valhalla. Let's take a listen to what Kash Patel said.
Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.
Probably just a coincidence, you guys, that this operation also fits just so neatly into our timeline. I love timelines. I love neat timelines. So let's pull that up again. I'm also going to introduce a couple of corrections to yesterday. First and foremost, July 20th, we talked about BTT, which came in for its longest trip. That's correct. From Cairo, it went through to Paris, and then it went to Omaha, Nebraska. I think yesterday I said that it stayed in Wilmington for 6 days. No, it only stayed in Wilmington for one night. It stayed in Nebraska for the longest stretch yet, departing from Nebraska, from Lincoln, Nebraska in particular. And this 6 day stretch of what they were doing in Nebraska actually might offer us a clue, because during this stretch on July 22nd, the Nebraskan Secretary of State, Bob Evan, announced that they were going to put together a trade and investment delegation to Cairo, Egypt. What are the odds? You got this plane from Cairo, Egypt, and we're going to pull this up and show you. And suddenly, you got this guy, Bob Evans, and he says, yeah, you know what? Let's plan a trip to Cairo and see if we can make some money with them. I'm going to let you listen to, I think we have a news clip that will show you that that happened.
Nebraska Secretary of State Bob Evans is inviting business and industry leaders to take part in a trade mission, investment mission to Egypt later this year. Egypt's position in North Africa makes it an ideal gateway to doing business in the greater Middle East region. And our state excels in several sectors that Egypt is keen to invest in, including agricultural goods, manufacturing, water management, medical technology, and more. The mission is currently scheduled for October 26th through November 2nd. However, the dates are subject to change. Those interested in joining the delegation to Egypt can visit the Secretary of State's website or contact the office to learn more.
And I want to say to my Nebraskans, we should probably figure out, I didn't have time to do this, we should go through his schedule and see who he met with, because I feel like that idea might be related to our planes. I just don't think like people in Nebraska are sitting around like, hey, we should go to Cairo, Egypt, and it happens to line up with this plane that comes in, on the exact same day. I also, minor correction, I think yesterday I said that Tucker spoke on July 18th. He actually spoke on July 11th. I just kind of copy and pasted that over wrong, so we made that correction. Anyways, yeah, we can then see that we've added this addition. This Valhalla is now here on our timeline from August 24th to 29th. They have this joint operation Valhalla that's taking place at Camp Ripley, and we are really getting tight here. We are talking about a T-minus 12 days until Charlie Kirk is going to be assassinated. And here's what I hope you guys are seeing here, why I have said this was so clearly a military operation. Everything about this story is military, okay? We are receiving tips, and we had been receiving tips I had ignored previously, that the French Foreign Legion was involved somehow in this assassination. Time will tell, okay? And I will present that more formally when I feel like we have concrete evidence. But we have begun the process of sharing information with other content creators, because there's something about this that feels that holding information is not going to help us. We have to, as soon as we get it, spread it with people that we trust, people that are actually fighting for Charlie, people that are actually going max and telling the truth during this tremendous time of deceit. And what I can say for certain thus far is that the list of military connects in this story is just too long, okay? Charlie's surgeon, Dr. Lee Trotter, the alleged surgeon who apparently spoke about the miracle, we're supposed to assume spoke about the miracle, the 30-06. Again, he's not been confirmed, but we are pretty solid. This is our guy who happened to be a pilot who did his residency at an Air Force base. Oh, okay. That's interesting. We told you that Dr. Deidre Amaro is the medical examiner, Charlie's medical examiner, who they've curiously not wanted to address publicly. Yeah, I told you she's also a major in the military. Oh, who would have thunk it? Andrew Colvett, obviously, his brother and his cousin are captains in the military. That's a fact. Frank Turek, who was there for the assassination, is a naval flight officer. His sons are in the Air Force. That's a fact. McCoy's naval intelligence background and psychological operations because of Grendad and famed, actually, is Grendad McCoy's famed. There was like a fleet of ships named after the McCoys, very high up military. The video, the only two videos that we have that were recorded allegedly of the shooter, first and foremost, the video of him running away after the shot way too fast. If he was actually crouched down shooting, common sense, it's too fast. You couldn't be in a sprint that quickly. For anybody that's actually fired a rifle, you know that. You can't go from a crouching position to a full sprint in a split second. Well, that video was recorded by a person that is in the ROTC. I hunted that person down. Very strange. They didn't want to be involved and sent it through three people to release onto the internet. And then it is boosted. And that's the video that everybody sees. It's supposed to make us think that there was actually someone on that rooftop. Then there's the video that the second video, which is the guy laying down before the shot, right? That also was recorded by a person in the military who actually teaches shooting. So this is not a military campus, guys. Burton Hibbs, Butch, the brother of Pastor Jack Hibbs. Jack Hibbs phones up Charlie. He's like, hey, can my brother come and listen to you speak? I guess this, whatever, was a hotbed. Older people just love Charlie Kirk in Utah. Very hard to find a student that was just, you know, on campus that day and went to hear Charlie speak. Probably because they barely advertised this event for a reason, obviously. I think they wanted to control who was there. And there could have been a lot of people there that were controlled military men. That's my viewpoint. But Burton Hibbs, Butch, is the brother of Pastor Jack Hibbs, obviously sons, I showed you, of an Air Force chief. Tyler Robinson is a Boy Scout whose uncle, Mitchell, may be related. People have pulled this off of the internet, and I don't have a photo for you today. I should have grabbed it. Amber Robinson, there's just photos of them visiting an uncle Mitchell. Is this a Mitchell that allegedly convinced him to turn himself in, who's working? He's very much involved in the military, I believe, with shooting in Ukraine, of all places. It's getting shady. And of course, our now infamous planes, SUBTT and SUBNT, are Egyptian military planes. And every plane that seems to be flying over UVU that day is somehow military contracted planes. So are we supposed to think that this is all by coincidence? Or are we looking at an obvious military operation? And here's something else that I want to share with you. As I've reviewed this footage, and any time that I think that somebody is shady or somebody is brought to my attention that is involved or I would like more information on, they happen to be wearing a maroon shirt. Have you guys noted this? Everybody that day, like, I know, look, everybody is liberal and guys wear pink and, you know, Abercrombie's a thing. But I've never in my life looked at every guy seems to be wearing maroon that I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, he's wearing a maroon shirt. Oh, he's wearing a maroon shirt. Tyler Robinson's where everyone's wearing a maroon shirt as if they were told to wear maroon shirts to identify each other. I'm communicating this to you because it keeps coming up in my research, and I think it means something. I think we need to hone in on the men, the people in the audience that are wearing maroon shirts. I don't think it's your go-to color for most men. In fact, it was so often that I was seeing this color that I reached out to my source at Utah, and I was like, maybe it's a school color. Maybe actually they're all buying shirts and buying t-shirts, and the school color for UVU is maroon. And he told me, no, it's not maroon. So this feels like something that we shouldn't ignore. I was able to track down a couple of episodes ago. I was telling you this Bush situation seems to be a little odd. People thought they saw somebody speaking to a Bush. And I was able to determine who that person was that kind of comes out of the Bush. Again, not saying this person has done anything wrong, But unusually, when I went to check that person's socials, they had posted on September 10th about their bulletproof skateboard that I don't know if it was like a promo for his skateboard or whatever it was, but didn't do any follow-up posts about Charlie Kirk. Nobody in his family posted about Charlie Kirk. You had a front row seat and you watched Charlie Kirk die, and I guess no social posts about it, wasn't interested, maybe wanted to stay out of it. And then I obviously find out that his dad is the head of, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, president of the Mormon temple in Los Angeles. His name is, this person that was behind the bush is Jacob Kasparian. And then it just kind of becomes like a dark hole trying to figure out his father and his father's connections to the Middle East. So I am still working on that. But yes, he as well was wearing a maroon shirt. I think we need to pay attention to that as we widen our investigation, because if I was the military and the reason we didn't promote this event, and again, we're theorizing here, but the reason we waited to the very last second to put up posters about this event was because you didn't, because you actually did want to control who went there that day. You didn't want a bunch of people driving in from all over to see Charlie Kirk. You wanted to control what videos were going to hit the internet. You controlled everybody who was video recording. I even think, and I'll have to check this, that the people that were live streaming that day had military backgrounds as well. If I wanted to control all of that, and I also wanted to use like civilians to show up, I would make sure they all knew to wear a certain shirt or to wear a certain hat so they knew who they were. That's me. If I'm running a military operation, which I feel like I know because I do run kind of a toddler military operation, that's a good way to indicate who at Disney World is your family, everybody wearing the same color. So I think we should be clued into that, continue to follow our instincts and to get as much information as we can, because we are getting close. They are getting, radical in these non-debunkings. Yesterday, they were trying to make it trend that I got pranked by the person who wrote me the email. I told you I had run that up the chain for weeks to make sure everything was legit about that location. And it is 1,000% legit, and it caused a lot of panic. And we're getting a lot of phone calls now from people telling us it has caused panic. The Egyptian planes definitively were pulled into Satis, and that person was then escorted for whatever reason. That foreign dignitary was escorted to that facility where they have joint operations going on between the DHS and the DOJ, being the Secret Service and the FBI and the DEA. None of this is normal. We all sense that none of this is normal, and it very much feels to me like it was a deep state operation. And like I said, they're not going to get away with it. So we're going to take a brief break and throw it to some of our sponsors. All right, you guys, many people have been vilified for standing up for truth. I think many people have felt the sting of injustice, but we're also feeling tremendously courageous in these times. I'm done playing defense. I've not watered down what I believe to be palatable anymore, because silence is not kindness. It's actually consent. And right now, the greatest silence surrounds the topic of lives that are lost before they even take their first breath. If we're going to call ourselves defenders of life, then we have to act like it always, which is why I'm asking you to join me to fight back with action. For just $28, that's what it costs to give a free ultrasound to a woman that is in crisis and considering an abortion. You can help her see the light that is growing inside of her to give her the truth that the culture will not. Do not sit this one out. Do not wait for permission. Be bold, be clear, and be unapologetically pro-life. You can head to preborn.org/Candace right now. You can give $28. You can give 10 times that if you can. This is the line that we have to stand on. We have to stand for truth and fight for what's right. We have to save lives from abortion and stand firm in the gospel. Again, that is preborn.org/Candace. Provide an ultrasound for just $28. Also want to remind you guys about Tax Network USA, because if you owe the IRS back taxes, they can garnish your wages and levy your bank accounts. They can even seize your retirement or take your home. Do not let the IRS target you. Call the professionals at Tax Network USA. Their tax lawyers and enrolled agents are experts in powerful programs that may even help you eliminate your tax debt. Tax Network USA is rated A+ and has saved over $1 billion for their clients. So whether you owe a few thousand or a few million, they can help you. In just one phone call, you can start the process of stopping those threatening demand letters, stopping those aggressive collection notices, and resolving your tax matters once and for all. But you have to act now while you still have options. For a free consultation, call Tax Network USA today at 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Candace. Do not let the IRS be the first to act. That's TNUSA.com/Candace. Okay, so one of the things that is just getting weirder by the day is the general public having to pretend like the United States is not completely infiltrated by Zionist psychopaths. And it's just getting odd, right? They're going through extraordinary lengths to let us know that they have all the power and they're going to do whatever it is that they want. And they're just engaging in naked propaganda to serve the state of Israel. So I'm going to show you a couple of these headlines. I guess let's start with Mike Huckabee. He is the ambassador to Israel and apparently is completely shameless. Now, just to go back, in case you missed it back in October, Mike Huckabee and the former U.S. ambassador to Israel, which was David Friedman, took to the stage in Jerusalem to perform Sweet Home Alabama. And by Sweet Home Alabama, I mean Sweet Home Jerusalem in Hebrew or something. Just watch it. And hey, challenge, no cringing. I'm starting to think that Israel wants us to hate them. Like, that's the ultimate psyop. They want us to hate them. I think it's like, it's unbelievable, the factor of cringe. And if that's not humiliating enough, Mike Huckabee just went over to Israel and met with Jonathan Pollard. Okay, Jonathan Pollard, if that name is not familiar to you, is a literal convicted Israeli spy. This is the headline. Yeah, there he is. Seems like a good guy. American who spied for Israel says he met Ambassador Mike Huckabee to thank him for his support because he did support him. Jonathan spent 30 years in prison on espionage charges after being found to have pretended to work for the American government, but was actually working to pass documents over to Israel. That's kind of a theme, our greatest ally. It's just a theme with our greatest ally. And despite being found guilty, despite spending 30 years in prison, people were saying we should be kinder to this guy. And Huckabee was among several pro-Israeli politicians who advocated for Jonathan Pollard to be released. And he, when he was released, was welcomed in Israel. Like the red carpet was rolled out for him, I think, literally. And I think Bibi Netanyahu met him on the runway. Like, you did, you served us well. And who cares if the American people suffer? So you'd think Mike Huckabee would go, I'm not going to meet with him because that shows that I am an Israel firster. But there is just a level of shamelessness that, I don't know. What was it that Carolyn Leavitt said? They asked Carolyn Leavitt about this at the White House, and she said, and I quote, "The White House was not aware of that meeting, but the president stands by our ambassador." Well said, Caroline. I mean, I didn't know he was going to meet with a traitor, but we stand by him anyway if he's meeting for a traitor. And the reason we stand by him is because we're all traitors. We are all treasonous. I hate everyone. I hate that this is allowed. I think it's fair for us to hate that it's allowed. And we do have a bunch of treasonous spies. Their job, I guess, is to further enslave us to the gang colony in the Middle East that is pretending that they have been ordained by God to murder. And yeah, I don't know. There is some comedic relief coming, though. Tim Dillon covering anything is always hilarious. And he is covering the occupation of our media because it's just so in our faces now. It's never been this in our face, you know? Before we get to what he had to say about Barry Weiss, I want to remind you that Barry Weiss started and is a part owner, at least, of the Free Press. Before she went on to CBS News, she notoriously left New York Times and said it was biased and we needed to have something that was in the middle of the line, and she just couldn't get behind all of this COVID propaganda, and she was going to start the Free Press and they were going to go back to doing hardcore, real, non-biased journalism. So what kind of journalism are they doing over at the Free Press? Okay. This is a real email. I'm not being funny. I feel like you're going to think this is SNL. That fluttered into my inbox the other day from a writer. His name is Ashley Reinsberg. And this is the email. I'm just going to read you the email. This is it. It says, "Hi, Candace. I'm reporting a piece for the Free Press on the economics." Ooh, economics. I like economics. This must be straight middle of the line, right? There can't be any bias here. I'm reporting a piece for the Free Press on the economics of high engagement political content on YouTube and podcast platforms. I'm reaching out for comment regarding several assertions that you've made in recent episodes, including claims about Israel, the death of Charlie Kirk, and the Becoming Brigitte series. I also want to ask about the financial side of your operation because it is central to the story. Here are his five questions. One, since publishing anti-Israel and anti-Jewish claims, have you seen a measurable increase in watch time, subscriber growth, or revenue across YouTube, Rumble, or your podcast feeds? Two, have sponsors and ad partners or platform reps encouraged or pushed back on this shift in content direction? Three, do you see any correlation between escalation in claims and the performance metrics that drive you, your business, retention, average viewer, duration, CPM, RPM, member conversion, etc.? Four, to what extent do you view conspiracy content as an editorial choice versus a business decision? And five, do you believe your recent content about Israel and Jewish influence is rooted in evidence, or do you see it primarily as commentary? Yeah, no, I'm going to get back to him. Obviously, I have to pull up, I have to pivot over to that SS tab, you know, the Hitler tab, which shows the metrics of exactly how people are responding to anti-Jewish rhetoric. And we just have to pull that from YouTube because that's, I can see we've done some tests. And obviously the advertisers have been, that's the whole thing. That's the nature of the business, obviously. Is that you can only make money. The only people that are being successful, that are successful at all, it's pretty obvious, is because they hate Jews. That's kind of what's implied. Why do we have to pretend this is journalism, right? Are you shocked if I tell you that Ashley Reinsberg, he happens to live in Tel Aviv? Like, you just cannot make it up. Like, just write your article. Stop pretending that you're a journalist. It's totally fine. Your job is to write hit pieces, to say that you guys are being victimized at all times, forever, since the beginning of time. And it's obviously not anything that you're doing that's causing a reaction. It's not like they're just genociding Palestinians right now. So it's about metrics. It's about the SS tab that's behind the scenes of YouTube. So I'll get that content. I'll get those metrics over to you, Ash. Looking forward to that. Further to that commentary, Tim Dillon, who always gets me in trouble. I don't know how he never gets sued. It feels wrong. Like I make one slight mention, joke about Alexis Wilkins referring to Tim Dillon's content and us getting a strike. And she goes on a rant against me, not against Tim Dillon. Okay. I'm speaking about Brigitte and MKUltra. Brigitte sues me, not Tim Dillon, who she mentions in the lawsuit. So I'm just asking if anybody wants to sue Tim Dillon. That's all I'm saying. Okay, go after him. I'm enjoying his content. It's his fault. Here's what he had to say about Barry Weiss's installation, because that's what it was. She just installed. It's not a meritocracy. At the head of CBS News, take a listen.
Barry Weiss is basically telling people, why don't you pretend I'm not here to destroy this whole thing? Because that's what I'm here to do. I'm not going to pretend that. I'm not pretending that. I don't have the time to pretend that I have not been sent on a mission to destroy this legacy broadcasting institution. I'm here to destroy it. I'm here to make it a vessel of state propaganda. Which state? Well, we know which state. It's not America. It's to be a vessel of state propaganda. It's all it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be anything else. And Barry Weiss, to her credit, is not pretending she's there to do anything else. She's going, why are there standards and practices? Why are they showing the Palestinian reach for the cookie when we blow their head off? Why are they doing that? Why are they asking these questions? Why are they saying this? She's very, very much 100% on board. My job is to get rid of any independent voice at CBS. We're here to destroy the network and get rid of anybody that would stand in our way. We are here to deliver state propaganda. That's what they're there to do. And not the United States, not the United States propaganda, by the way. She is there to deliver Israeli propaganda. She knows it. We know it. Larry Ellison hired her to do it. That's okay. They've already got a blacklist of actors who will never work at Paramount. It doesn't matter. No one cares. Mm-hmm. Nobody watches any of this crap.
He's exactly right. It's I don't even understand why we have to go through this process. Like, just write the article. Just do the propaganda. You don't have to reach out to us. We all know what's happening. Your job is just naked propaganda to convince us, like, you're going to be the authority on blackballing certain people, writing hit pieces about them, making sure that they cannot function in this economy. This is the state. They are the state, and they want you to know. And like he said, it is not America. It is not the United States that they are doing this for. I just don't know where this is all going, I guess. Like, are we going to be put back in the gulag? Like, are Christians going back in the gulag? I don't know. But we're certainly going to find out. We're going to take a brief break for our sponsors, and I'm going to get into some of your comments. Okay, you guys, you have heard me speak a lot about Niemi Skincare. I love what their three-step anti-aging routine has done for my skin, which is why I am very excited that Niemi Skincare now has a complete body line as well. They have the Foundations Body Bundle. It's a simple three-step routine. You get the Botanical Bliss Body Wash, which gently cleanses with soothing botanicals, Revitalizing Sugar Scrub to exfoliate and hydrate with vitamin C, plus the coconut oil, and the Restorative Body Lotion to deeply moisturize. It leaves your skin feeling smooth, hydrated, and healthy. And just like their facial care, the Niemi body line is made with clean, clinically proven ingredients. And best of all, it's made right here in the USA by a company that is built on our values, faith, family, and of course, freedom. So finally, you can stop supporting the radical corporations and give your money to a company that actually honors you. It's time to care for all of your skin with products that you can trust. Head to NiemiSkincare.com and you can use my code Candace10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. That's NiemiSkincare.com. Also, reminding you guys about American financing because the Fed just dropped interest rates again, and that is obviously great news for American homeowners. If you are feeling overwhelmed thinking about the upcoming holidays, there is no better time than right now to get your finances in order. It's hard to think about the holidays when everything is so expensive and your credit cards are already pushed to the max. Well, with rates dropping, now is the time to pay off that debt. American financing is helping homeowners access the equity in their home for instant savings. They're saving people just like you an average of $800 a month, and many are seeing rates in the low fives, which is a complete game changer compared to those sky-high credit cards. And if you start today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments, giving you that extra breathing room for the holidays. It costs absolutely nothing to find out how much you could be saving. The holidays are going to be here before we know it, so don't wait. Call their salary-based mortgage consultants today. You can call American Financing at 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210. Or you can visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. All right, you guys, some housekeeping. If you would like to support us, obviously go to CandaceOwens.com. Sign up for the book club. We are running late tonight, but we are doing the book club as we continue to read Sigmund Freud in the Jewish mystical tradition. You can also buy my book if you head over to MakeHimASandwich.com. That is the regular copy. Signed copies can only be purchased on CandaceOwens.com. And while you are there, definitely check out our new merch that is on the website. We are having currently a Black Friday sale. You can use code BLACK20. For 20% off store-wide. Does not include books, though. And that will be running through to Cyber Monday, so do not miss out. Good time to get stuff for the holidays. Top comments from yesterday. Number one, this person writes, Brigitte thought Candace forgot all about him. Yeah, I mean, look, I did not want to see the French angle. We got tons of emails from people saying that, and I was like, that would be too crazy. But, you know, somebody that is this sinister in terms of harassing people, suing people, going after people who even discuss the truth of their history, like that's a committed psychopath, you know? There's no shame there. And yeah, Brigitte's a gangster. Like, he's a gangster. There's no question about it. And the people that are sending us tips, like, we should look further into Satis. It is correct, by the way, we did look into that. Somebody had said that they did, in late July, have a CEO switch for one of their subsidiaries in Hamburg, Germany, which is, of course, interesting because that is where Jean-Michel Trogneau disappears for a couple of decades and goes and joins the military. And they certainly did. And that the CEO is an Israeli and it's in Hamburg. There's a lot going on there with Satis. And like I said, we're information sharing in the background and we are definitely getting closer. I think Icarus is flying a little too close to the sun. If what we're hearing turns out to be true, it is going to be, well, transformative in all of the right ways for our society and understanding just how evil and sinister this thing can be. Second, biggest comment from yesterday's episode, it was supposed to be you, is an insane thing to say to someone after an assassination. It was wild. It was gnarly. And I look, there was a reason I had to take a break. I was just, I can't even explain to you like how I felt. Like I was just physically sick from having watched Charlie's Assassination. I was physically sick from then being told that I was on this short list, that they were going to move to try to murder me as well. And then the guilt, everything that came with it, and then people trying to delete my life and pretend I didn't even know Charlie. It was just, I don't know. I mean, I am tremendously, if I could pat myself on the back for anything, it's that I came out the other side of that, because it was meant to traumatize me. And it was traumatizing, but it was meant to render me, I guess, inefficient. And it actually now is tethering me to, I think, a lot of us, right? Like, it was supposed to, I guess, make us silent. And now we're realizing, whoa, we have to stop and drop the petty politics and recognize that there is something way more evil going on. And we are all committed and we are in this thing and we are all going max. We have a comment from Jamie Pellucci today. Jamie writes, we should look into how the French language translates into English when a French person is trying to fabricate a combo between two young male lovers. It might come out sounding like the ridiculous text combo. Maybe some words in French translate to my love, actually. Yeah, French is a very romantic language. Yeah, that is such an interesting and creative perspective there. This is why I love the decentralized intelligence agency. Holly Carlin writes, we needed a hoodie that says Go Max. The Get Me Out of Here writes, it's my sister Amanda's 30th birthday. You've given us confidence to fight this fight with you. Truth in a time of deception is the most powerful weapon that we have. I believe your purpose is to point others to the truth for the sake of the next generation. Okay, to the hoodies on Go Max. I when we solve this thing, we will do that. I wanna make sure we hit the max. Maybe we'll even have gone max or went max. And happy birthday to Amanda. I am happy if I have helped in any way to give people the confidence to fight. And we are in a time of tremendous deception, but we are also in a time of tremendous revelation. Mary Everardi writes, my money is on the French. I am now, the more this timeline comes together, it's getting interesting is what I would say. And clearly, this has to be a very powerful organ. I mean, it has to be something or someone that is so powerful globally that they have the ability to strike fear into the heart of American politics, meaning that they are willing to tell lies to the American people, such absurd lies to the American people, like Cash Patel. The leaders of our government are lying to us and telling us not to believe our own eyes. So whatever that is sitting behind them, yeah, that's power, okay? It's got to be generational power. That's not, hey, I'm new here and trying this thing out. Melissa B. writes, I really, really want to believe that Charlie is in witness protection, that the FBI and the POTUS set it up to catch BB. Christ is and will always be king. Love you. I can tell you that that is not at all what happened. I know people were saying that, like, Valhalla used to be a program out in New Zealand. Guys, if you can look it up and figure out that it's a program in New Zealand, it's not a good program, right? So that's like the most hopeful wish that I think all of us wanted to. I definitely went to the phase where I was like, I just hope he's alive and none of this is real. And I had to then contend with the fact that it's very real. And that was obviously in large part due to my contacts that saw Charlie's body, and can't deny that. L of the Wanger writes, I lost the cringe challenge. What? You didn't like Sweet Home Jerusalem? No? Weird. As Gadgets writes, thank you for all that you do. Keep going, Max. Thank you, guys. Lux Lulu writes, stand firm. We see the cardinal virtues in your reporting. What was done in secret will be revealed, especially thanks to your courage and the courage of all of you guys around the world. People have taken real risks, like that person did, to tell me that a foreign dignitary was being brought to 920 North King. By the way, to their like false debunking, where they said Kittis's lawyer is in this office. So to clarify matters for you guys, first and foremost, there were parts of that letter that I did not read for a very specific reason. Secondly, my lawyer, as you guys know, watching the show, has always been Noah. And the way that lawsuits work is state by state, they have different laws. And so when we oddly got sued in Delaware, we have to, Noah then has to attach his license, meaning he's my lawyer on this case, but he has to find a legal firm that will take us and allow us to attach their license to him in order to file paperwork. That's just how it works. So In every circumstance, in every lawsuit that I've been involved in, you will see that it's never Noah that's actually filing or listed on any of the paperwork for that reason. And it can vary state by state, but it's I've always seen that to be the case. I was not aware of that before this letter is what I will say. And I will, that is what I will say. I will say that right now because I think that is enough to say. One, Antonio writes, this Thanksgiving, hug the friends or the family that you once dismissed or hounded for not voting or for being conspiracy theorists. If you're waking up to how things really work, show them love when you see them. Yes, and you definitely should do that because I think we're all seeing that the conspiracies are real, left and right, by the way, that people were telling the truth at various times and that there is great, tremendous evil, that much of this is a matrix. The system is rigged. It is not fair, and it can only stay rigged if we keep arguing with one another. Gray Scout Epsilon writes, how are American politicians able to act on behalf of a foreign nation against its own citizens and not be considered treasonous? Because everything is fake and gay. And we obviously have this whole idea in America as a meritocracy, anybody can make it, is completely fictitious. Bloodlines are ruling the world. That's kind of been my conclusion after this year. Lucky Island writes, watching Joe Rogan's podcast with Theo Von made me a little nervous. Joe seemed to be self-censoring himself and changing the subject whenever Israel or billionaire sex offenders were mentioned. I have not watched in its entirety. I know that Joe Rogan has definitely had people on and spoken about Israel. He's really gone there. He had Ian Carroll, so that would be unusual. Yeah, Joe Rogan has definitely taken a lot of risks. I haven't seen it, and he definitely has shouted out this podcast and a lot of the work that we are doing. But yeah, maybe, and look, everyone gets hounded and it's annoying to have to go through the cycle of being hounded by advertisers. And he may have just not wanted it to go through it for the umpteenth time. Yeah. Anyways, you guys, we do have the book club, so I'm going to jump off. We will need about 15 minutes and then I will meet you guys over on CandiceOwens.com. And for the rest of you, we'll see you on Monday. Oh, wait, no, we won't. Just kidding.